Philippians chapter number 1. What a precious epistle Paul writing from the prison to the church at Philippi. And we'll just read those first six verses tonight and see if we can drop the plow and go again. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to bow for prayer for just a moment. And my Lord reminded me of something when I was reading the scripture I want you to help me to pray about. I met a preacher last night under the tent after 20 years of marriage. Last December, I didn't know it till last night. His wife walked off and left him, left the children. And my prayer request is twofold. I do want us to pray for him and his children, but I want us to pray for her. Something's not right. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence once again. Lord, we're asking you tonight, Lord, to bless that dear preacher, his dear children. Lord, we're praying for his wife. God, we know that there's nothing too hard for thee. God, I know in my heart how she was raised, how she was trained. God, I know she knows better. And I'm asking you, Father, tonight to work a miracle. God, you're still in the miracle working business. God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that you'll bless this service. God, that you'll help us as we examine the Word of God tonight. Lord, may we not only examine the Word of God, but may the Word of God examine us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, what do you say we look at verse 2? We might look at verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know what God's going to do tonight. But I know we're finished, at least my part, with verse number 1. Amen? So let's look here tonight and ask the Lord to help us along the way. The Bible said in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Until I studied this time, honestly, that was nothing more to me than just a salutation. You know, Paul is just opening the letter, talking to God's people. And it's a wonderful salutation. But I want us to notice just a couple of things about it tonight before we go on to verse number 3. I want us to notice, first of all, the order that we see grace and peace. Can I tell you something tonight? I believe there's a lot of people in this world that desire peace. Amen? But they're trying to acquire peace apart from grace. Do you see, in the Bible, I believe grace always comes before peace. The Bible said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you can have religion without grace, but I don't believe you can have a relationship without grace. Amen. It takes the grace of God. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible calls our Father the God of all comfort. The Bible calls our Father the God of all grace. I don't know about you tonight. Someone said years ago, it's kind of an easy acrostic to remember for grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. I want to find a verse of Scripture. The Lord just put it in my heart. I know it's in Corinthians. I'm not sure if it's in 1st or 2nd. But I'll find it in just a moment. I believe I can find it in just a moment. It might be in 2 Corinthians. I didn't see it readily in 1 Corinthians. There's a couple of verses. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 21. For he hath made him, that's Jesus. The first he is God. God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What you have in that verse of scripture right there is a picture of grace. Watch what the Bible said here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse number 9. I didn't even realize the word grace was in it until I turned to it. That's the truth. I was thinking about the picture. But look at verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That's where the Holy Spirit put me on it right now, just a moment ago. Thinking about God's riches at Christ's expense. Though he was rich, yet he became poor. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be made rich. I don't know about you tonight, but we are rich. When I use the word we, I'm talking about God's people. We are rich. Amen. We're rich. I was thinking about a verse of scripture. I don't know exactly where it is, but I'll find it just a minute. I believe there's a verse in Ephesians that I want to look at. And then a verse maybe in the book of Hebrews that I want to look at. The Bible said in verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Honest, I didn't realize when I turned to it. There's the word again. By grace ye are saved. Amen. I'm just thinking about that God, rich in mercy, has extended that mercy to us and his great love to us. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews just a minute. We'll go right back to Philippians chapter number 1. I'm just trying to obey the Lord here just a minute tonight. I'm going to tell you something right now. If grace don't stir where you live, there's a bad problem where you live. We don't deserve this tonight. We don't even deserve to have a Bible laying in front of us tonight. We don't deserve to know the truth tonight. We don't deserve the prayers of one another. We don't deserve the grace that God has extended to us. Notice what the Bible said here. But we see Jesus. I'm in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Who was made a little lower than the angels. I want to ask you a question tonight. Can you remember a time in your life? I can. I mean, just let me prefix it like that. Can you remember a time in your life when somebody even began to go towards Calvary, your heart just melted? When you knew, amen, that was him that hung there in your place. Watch what the Bible said tonight. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, watch it, by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Brother Brian, if I didn't have another verse of scripture tonight, that verse right there would tell me he died for everybody. He didn't die just for a few. The grace of God wasn't, my friend, manifested just for a little number here, a little number there. He tasted death, the word of God said, for every man. I believe that tonight. Amen. Paul said, grace be unto you and peace. I want us to notice the order of grace and peace. Look at Romans chapter number 1 for me just a minute tonight. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible said here, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just think it's important to magnify that for just a moment tonight, because I believe there's so many people in search of peace, but they don't understand that grace is, it must come before peace will ever come in their heart and in their life. I believe tonight, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, I'm just looking at the order or the sequence of these two words tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said here, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Word of God is telling us here, Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter, the same thing. Watch the order. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2, I'm in James 1 now. That's not going to work. I got to get over a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. How many of you all were hunting for peace before you met grace? How many of you can say, hey, I never found it until I met grace? Amen. It was God's grace that brought the peace into our lives. So we're back over in Philippians. I'm just noticing the order. And then I notice the recipients of this grace and peace. Paul said, unto you. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad. I'm very thankful tonight that I am a recipient of the grace of God and the peace that comes with that grace tonight. And then tonight, I want you to notice the source of the grace and peace in this verse of Scripture. The Bible said it's from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Does it stir your heart tonight? You know, when Jesus was giving us a model prayer that was not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. If you want to look at Jesus praying, that's John 17. But the Lord was giving us a model prayer. Does it stir your heart to say those two words tonight? Our Father. Our Father. It stirs my heart. Now listen. It stirs my heart, Brother Gale, that He's my Father. But it stirs my heart. And I'm going to get in this fellowship thing a little bit later on in this chapter when we say our Father. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if I'm going over there Saturday, the Lord willing, to be with my dad a little while. We're going to have a little get-together and eat some hot dogs and chili and stuff like that and meet his fiance and all that. Well, we've already met her, but, you know, spend some time, get to know her, amen, decide whether we want to stone her or keep her, things like that, amen. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, we can sit there, and I can say, that's my dad. But there is something special when there's six youngins sitting around the table, and you say, that's our Father, amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's good to know He's your Father, but it's also good to know you ain't the only youngin in the bunch, amen. Paul said, our Father, that's the source, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate Paul's salutation, don't you? It speaks to my heart. Look at Romans chapter 5, just verse number 1. We'll go on to the next verse. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible said, therefore, being justified by, what's that word? Faith. Now, you'll never meet grace without having faith. Amen. We're justified by faith. Then the Bible said we have peace with God. Now watch this. It uses the word our in a different place through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing to me tonight. I just want to say this tonight. Kind of goes along with the message from Sunday. And, you know, the message Sunday night that I was going to preach had to do with God's faithfulness in the storm. So God didn't want us to preach it Sunday night. I guess He just wanted to see it. Amen. He wanted us to see His faithfulness in the storm. Be of good cheer in the middle of the storm. Amen. But here tonight, the Bible is teaching you and I it, through this grace and through this peace, and the source of it's our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though the world is in a great turmoil, and anybody that does not know that and will not acknowledge that has got their head buried in the sand. Amen. Our world is in a great turmoil. But while the world around us is in a great turmoil, thank God down inside of us, because of grace and peace, we can experience wonderful and great tranquility and peace in the midst of it all. Amen. And I thank God for that. I don't know about you. Watch this in verse number 3 now. We're moving on. The Bible said, I thank my God upon. Now up there, He called Him our Father. He gets down here, and when He's praying, He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I want you to see Paul's mannerism in this, not only in this letter, but in some of the other places as well. Chapter 1 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said in verse number 8 and verse number 9, first, that's what Paul said. He's writing to the church at Rome. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I can't read that without praying that someday our faith here at Bible Way will be spoken of throughout all Bloomingdale. Amen. At least they'll know what we believe. Amen. And know why we believe it. The Bible said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son without ceasing. Look at that. I make mention of you always in my prayer. You know, there's a verse in the scripture, I'm not sure where it is, but it said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. See, the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Brother John, we got to hear a good message last night. To whom much is given, much is required. God laid it in our lap. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe the Apostle Paul, he realized that he had an obligation to pray. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4. It's not only the church at Philippi, but you see this example over and over and over. He said in verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians, and they were a carnal church. There was division in that church. There was sin that went unjudged and undealt with in that church. But Paul, when he addresses that church, still said, I thank my God, there's that word again, always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in him, in everything, ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Look, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15 and 16. This is beautiful, beautiful language that the Apostle Paul is using over and over again. In verse number 15 and 16, the Bible said in verse number 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, watch this, not just your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. I'm going to stop right there and say something just in my heart, okay? I believe when our faith is right, our belief is right, our behavior will be right. I believe when my behavior gets wrong, it's because there's somewhere I'm not believing God the way I'm supposed to, and I'm not walking by faith the way I'm supposed to. I was thinking about something Brother Otis said Monday night. He said this. He said, somebody asked a missionary in India, what is the greatest hindrance to the gospel in India? And the missionary said, Christians. You said, preacher, what did he mean by that? And this is what Brother Otis said. He said, there are people that say they know God that don't live the way that Bible said people that's supposed to know God's supposed to live. I preached in prisons for years. I was telling the men this today as we visited together. I would say to the prisoners often, Brother Brian, the reason a lot of the men on the compound will never come in the chapel is because of what they're seeing in the lives of the men that do come in the chapel. Cuss just like you always cuss. Look at the same pictures you always looked at. Amen. Trying to get over on somebody. I used to tell them all the time, instead of trying to get over on somebody, I want to try to get somebody over to Jesus. Amen. You say, preacher, where did that come from? Well, look, and I'll show you. Right here, he said, this is where God sparked it in my heart. He said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, when there's real faith in the Lord Jesus, there's going to be some love for the people of God. I met a man last week. He told me I'm not going to name the religions. I'm not trying to pick on somebody. He said he was something and his wife was something else. I said, well, where do you go to church? He said, I don't. He said, me and the Lord, we got our thing going. He named something. He said, I read over there somewhere. He said, I believe it's over there somewhere in the book of Matthew where you don't have to pray in public. I said, no, he was talking to a bunch of Pharisees, amen, that was trying to make a show when they prayed. I said, you don't have to pray in public. You sure don't. I said, but God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You say, preacher, what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. His faith that's on his lips is not lining up with his life. Or you could say that vice versa. His life is not lining up with his lips. And I believe Paul said here, I just want to thank God for you down there, church at Ephesus, because you have a faith in the Lord Jesus that's changed your life. Watch this now, verse 16. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you. Cease not. That just goes with that word always. Just always, always, always. I don't know if I can find it tonight. I don't want to find it, though. It's in my heart right now. Let me see if I can find it. I know it's in Corinthians. If I can't find it, I'll get me some help in a minute. I'll get y'all to help me find it. Right there it is. Look here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm not even done with this list yet. We can still go to Colossians and go to 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. I'm not even done with the list where Paul is basically saying the same thing about all these churches, but I want you to see something right here. The Bible said in verse number 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, are they ministers of Christ? He said, I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. Perils of robbers. Perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. While I'm reading this list, we might ought to think about some perils we're going to be facing before he comes and takes us home. Amen. He said, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without. Watch this now. He said always. He said without ceasing. I think he's right. I believe he's telling it right. He said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I don't know if I've ever told this publicly or not. I've been with Rock of Ages about a year. And it wasn't the same place on the parking lot. I was around here, plumb behind the fellowship hall over here. Liberty Baptist, where I had pastored. Last Sunday I was there was 235 people. A year later, there was 35. They were without a pastor. This church was without a pastor. And I can't remember the others, Brother Houston, but there were 2 or 3 more churches without a pastor. And I sat back there and begged God for all those churches. I was a missionary. Beg God, God, send them a man. I'm going to tell you something right now. I may not have been a pastor for 10 years, but I always had the churches of the living God in my heart. Amen. I told some of our men when I was preaching to them one time, I said, if some of you guys would get it in your heart and go into that church thinking about they need something, they need to hear from God instead of thinking about what you need, I said, God will meet your needs. Paul wasn't going from church to church trying to get something for him. He was trying to help them. Amen. And even when he couldn't be with them, when he was locked up in prison, he said, boy, they can take me away from the church, but they can't take the church away from me. I've got the church in my heart. I've got the church in my heart. I'm going to tell you, it's sad. There's a whole lot of pastors in this generation that don't even have their own church in their heart, let alone all the churches. Oh, God, help us. I'm going to tell you something right now. We could never be right with God to hear about another church struggling that believes the truth of the Word of God. Are you listening to me? I don't even believe if they don't believe it like we do. We should never rejoice in their struggles. Paul said some of them preach it of strife and some of them preach it of contention. He just grinned from ear to ear and said, I'm glad they're preaching it. Amen. Glad they're preaching it. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't mean to say all that, but I guess it needed to be said. Paul, beaten, shipwrecked, all kinds of trouble. He said, you can't take that church out of my heart. And it's not just Philippi. Do you see that? It's not just Philippi. He said the same thing at Rome, the same thing in Corinthians, the same thing in Ephesians. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Boy, I thought we'd get through six verses tonight. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3, he said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying, what's that next word? Always for you. I don't know who said this, but I heard somebody say this or I read it. And I believe there's some truth in it when I think about it. Whoever said it said this, every failure is a prayer failure. The Apostle Paul, he didn't just pray once in a while. He was praying always. Look here with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And I didn't realize God was going to show me that scripture tonight while I was preaching about the care of all the churches. It ain't no wonder the Lord wanted me to see these references tonight. Chapter number 1 and verse number 2, 1 Thessalonians. He said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I want to ask you a question tonight. Not been a whole boatload of people, but God's given me my share of them that said something this like this to me, Brother Fred. Brother Vinoy, I pray for you every day. That's humbling. How many believe those churches that Paul's talking about down through here, he prayed for them every day. Every day. That's humbling to think that anybody in this world would take the time to call. How many knows? I know this for a fact. There's people praying for our church and don't even go to our church. That's precious. That's precious in the sight of God. Watch this now. And I think I'm done with the list right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said, we're bound. He said, preacher, why was he bound? He said, we're bound to thank God always for you. Brethren, as it is meet. In other words, it's fit. It's right. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other. You see that right there? Faith in action. That's what Paul was seeing in these churches. He was seeing, and by the way, that's what makes faith become real. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But how many believes when there's real faith, there'll be evidence? Evidence of that real faith. You say, preacher, why did he say we're bound? I'll tell you what I believe he's saying right here. Is in conjunction with 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, when Paul said this. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Brother Anthony, how long could you sit there knowing that we needed a bass player? How long could you sit there knowing that the bass is sitting up there and it needs somebody to play it? How long could you sit there, brother? I believe there's something down inside of you that say, get up from there, boy, and get up there and get at it. Amen? I believe the love of Christ will cause us to do what we can for the cause of Christ, but no less than pray one for another in this world that we live in. I believe with all of my heart, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, has a salutation that's very, very fitting. Grace always comes before peace. We know tonight that not only is there great turmoil around us, but there was great turmoil around him. But you know what he said? Well, we need this. I'll say it like this. I need this. Maybe you don't need it. But he said, I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Well, I need me a dose of that tonight. Amen. Things are going well, be content. If things aren't going well, be content. Got plenty, be content. Got little, be content. Amen. You think about that list of things that I just read through. And in all those things. Now, wait a minute now. Watch this. I want to tie this in because it's important. He didn't just say, I'm content and everything. He said, what's the next word? Learned. Ain't nothing wrong if we're not there yet, Brother Merv. Long as we're learning on the way, amen. We'll get there after a while. We've not yet attained, amen. But we'll get there after a while. Learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let's take just another look here tonight. And then I think I'll close it down. The Bible said in verse number 4, here's our word, always. In every prayer of mine for you all, I used to kid the prisoners up there in Pennsylvania every time Paul used the phrase you all. I said he was from the South. Amen. Up there they got something like you-uns. My goodness. Amen. How'd you like to run about and have to say you-uns? He said, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. I just want to say this tonight. We're going to come back to this next Wednesday night, God willing. But when Paul was praying, it was more than just a duty. It was a delight. You know what I feel like? I feel like I weigh 200 and none of your business pounds. I struggle with my blood pressure. When it gets up, I can control it with diet and bring it back down. And I feel like whole grain cereal is duty. You tell they some old folks around here tonight, amen. Oatmeal, duty. Ain't that right? Salad. Here comes more duty. We stopped last night at the Subway. We could have done worse, but I tell you, we could have done better. Hey, amen. More, you say, what excited you about the Subway duty? But I did look on the menu. Now, I didn't go get it, but I saw there was some delight available. Chocolate chip, amen. There was some delight available. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows what it is to read your Bible out of duty? And I'm not against that. I believe if you don't feel like it, keep reading it. If you don't feel like praying, keep praying. I think if you don't feel like coming to church, hello, keep coming to church. Amen. I believe there are times when we will have to just press on out of duty. I tell you, we shouldn't stay there long. We ought to ask God to make church a delight, to make our Bible a delight, to make praying a delight, to make inviting somebody else or telling somebody else about Jesus a delight. Paul said, I'm making requests. He said, when I'm praying, he said, it's with joy. 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 I don't know about you tonight, but you can carry a burden with joy. Amen. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. I'm looking forward to verse 5, aren't you? And seeing some things now. I think it's verse number 5. Is that the one that uses that word fellowship? Woo, wait till we get there. Glory to God. That's going to be good. Amen. I've learned some things about fellowship. Amen. Studying this. I pray God will help us in our fellowship. to love one another. What Jesus say? He said, Brother Fred, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. Because you have great faith. He said, they'll know you're my disciples because you love one another. Great faith will cause us to love one another. Faith in action. Amen. I do too, brother. This young man sitting up here said, I need more of it. I say more like Jesus. More of his saving fullness. See, more of the one who died for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people. God, good crowd tonight, Lord. I don't know exactly, Lord, why Brother Knight and Sister Angel had to step out, but I pray for them tonight. God, whatever it is, I pray, God, you'd work in the situation. And Lord, I ask you tonight to work in our families. Lord, some of them may be having different struggles. Lord, I know that you're the God that can handle every situation. Your arm is not shortened that it cannot save. God, I pray tonight, help this this little lesson, Lord, in Philippians chapter 1. Lord, help us to take from here tonight that we need to be praying. Lord, we don't only need the prayers of those we love, but God, we need to pray for those that we love. In Jesus' name.